Good morning, North America. Welcome to Church Talk TV, lively talk about life, church, and church life. I'm your co-host, Dr. Bill Tenney-Britton, and I'm joined, as usual, by my co-host, Dr. Chris Tenney-Britton, and we're broadcasting from our studio in Columbia, Missouri, the heartland of America. Say good morning, Chris.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to Church Talk TV.
Chris and Bill Tenney-Britton here today to talk about blurred vision. It's beyond the blur. When your vision's blurred, I'm talking about not this vision, but your church vision is blurred, then you have a pretty bleak outlook. I mean, that's just the reality.
Sure. You know, we had the eclipse. We didn't get to have the total eclipse this week.
But mostly.
We got to see, I think it was like 92, 98% of the eclipse, something like that.
Looked like a fallen crescent moon when you were looking through the glasses.
It was really cool. And we got to see the one in 2017 that really was total here. Anyways, all of that aside, when we start talking about today's episode, I was thinking about, the blur and how blurry your eyes are when you look at the sun.
And
right?
How blurry they are for about the next half hour as you're trying to do work.
Well, but yeah, and here's this other part, though. I had forgotten in those few years, 7 years since when we had the glasses before, how you can't see anything in those glasses. I kept thinking, something's wrong with my glasses. I can't see anything. Everything was black. And it wasn't until we looked at the light, right, looked straight into the sun, that we had clarity, and then we could see, the dark and the light. Well, I think not knowing our mission is kind of the same. Our vision, sorry about that. Not knowing our vision is very much the same thing. We're all over the place, and we don't have our glasses on to look at that what the light, and I'm going to go with capital L, light, is trying to show us, us to.
One of the reasons why vision is so important to me and why we're talking about this week is last week we talked about mission. But one of the main reasons why vision for me is so important is that when I do consultation with churches, I've been doing consultations for over 20 years. When I go to a consultation, one of the things I ask of literally everybody that I have an interview with, so the pastor, all the staff, all the auxiliary staff,
leaders,
lay people, etc. I say, so what is your vision for the church? What do you see? Where do you see this church going in the next 5 years? And you know what? Most of the time,
I can hear it.
We want to grow.
Yeah, exactly. We want to be able to meet our bills.
Never hear that.
I have definitely heard it.
Grow, or we want younger people.
Younger people, right? And grow. I mean, it comes back to those three B's, right? We want our budget met. We want butts in the seat. We want young butts so that they'll keep coming when the older butts pass on.
Right.
And we need the budget to sustain or hopefully.
Right. Yeah, three B's. So I'm waiting to hear a third B. There's butts, budgets, and?
Bucks. And building.
There's buildings. Yeah. Okay, right.
I thought
okay.
I said building. Never
well, you
mind.
Said, you hadn't said building, but okay.
But well, I mean, we hear the same thing, right?
Exactly.
I mean, over and over again. And when I was helping congregations find pastors, I would say, and whoever's out there listening, in a lot of mainline denominations that call their pastors, they are looking for somebody who will do what they want. And I tell them all the time, I know what y'all want. You want to grow. You want more young people that are here. You want somebody who's going to preach a really good sermon. There are four or five things. But who we want isn't necessarily who we need. And we don't know who we need if we aren't clear about what our church's vision is.
Well, and I just want to build on that so that we don't... Every church both of us have worked with, they say they want to grow.
Right.
But... virtually every church wants to grow so long as the people look like us, act like us, don't want to take our positions in leadership, and et cetera.
And you don't make me do anything.
Right. Yeah,
I mean, right.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's the other part of this,
I don't want to have to get involved.
That's right.
That's why we're hiring the pastor, right?
Right. And that's what the young people are there for, and that's what the long-timers are there for. I mean, it goes on and on.
Although if the young people step up to take one of your positions, then all... caca breaks loose because they don't want to give up their position.
Right, exactly. But I mean, and that's a whole other what causes for failed consultations.
Right.
That's like we could do a whole 10 episodes on that one. But the bottom line is we're not being vision focused,
right? And people don't have a vision, right? By and large.
Right. See, I think that's a dangerous question to ask. I haven't asked like in a group of people. I don't think I've ever asked.
I never
asked
a group. I only ask one on one.
Okay, because I'm like, if you answer that, or you're asking that, and I was listening for how that was working for you, but okay, never mind. Then I don't have to.
Because otherwise, because you've got people building on stuff, and it gets a mess. Well, I asked one on one, and again, mostly what I get is deer in the headlights.
I agree. Most of the time,
they have no vision.
Right.
And Proverbs, a very very poor translation of that verse, but it works. That's true nonetheless. Without a vision, the people perish.
Right.
And I can tell you that without a vision, without a church vision, the church is at best plateaued. It's going nowhere, and it will eventually crash, burn, and close.
So the mission, basically, and you try to kind of sum this in a weird way, perhaps, is that it's kingdom-focused. I mean, and the vision is also kingdom-focused, but it's the more immediate that gets us to realizing the kingdom focus. Now, I don't know
where you're going on that. So tease it out, because I don't think you and I are going to agree on this.
Okay, but I'd really rather go a different way now that I said that.
Okay.
Well, as I was thinking about mission, because we said this last week and say it all the time. I mean, there's one mission, big M, right for the church, and that is
the founder gave
disciples,
it to us.
Disciples.
I don't know
that.
That's cool. I mean, that's kingdom focus, I guess, but you know,
I call it kingdom focused, right? And then the vision is more how to get our church to where our church is going to be able to fulfill that mission.
Okay, and I would say it the other way around. I would say that vision, your vision is what happens if you fulfill your mission. If you fulfill your mission, that's where you're going. You know,
it's very different.
So if you go out here, if we fulfilled our mission and truly fulfilled our mission for the next 5 years, what would it look like out here? And that becomes, if you will, vision. So we have a Jesus talk, or it's a Jesus talk, God talking to Moses, could have been Jesus, talking to Moses, saying, hey, listen, I got a place for you. I'm sending you to the promised land. Lead my people to the promised land. It wasn't a five-year vision. It was a 40-year vision.
Anyway, wasn't meant to be.
Yeah, it wasn't meant to be. It was supposed to probably been meant to be a two-year vision. But, you know, and so there was this vision. What would happen if, and this is the end result. Our vision is to reach the promised land. The mission is to lead the people out, free them from slavery, and the vision is the promised land. And then when they got to the promised land, then they had to change their vision. The mission was still the same, let my people go, my people will be a light to the world, a light to the Gentiles, et cetera, et cetera. And the vision, of course, at the Jordan changed because they'd reached the promised land, and then it was settle in the promised land, and then it was bring the tribes together in the promised land, and then it all fell apart.
Yeah, even before that.
Thank you, Rehoboam.
Right, yeah. Thank you. I'm going to toss a different way of looking at it, because this is how I teach mission and vision, that actually mission is the overarching reason that God established your congregation.
The purpose of the church.
Right, when God did, when he did, and where he did, right? So for whatever reason, God spoke to some people and said, I need a church right there on the corner of, I don't know, 5th and Spring Streets. And so that church was planted. Now, the question is, why? And what are we supposed to be doing with that?
The why was the purpose. That's how I would define that. That's the purpose. That's the why.
To establish the church. There.
Okay. And the purpose is to make disciples.
Right. See, that's where I'm with you on that.
Right.
But I think a congregation's actual purpose
is to make disciples.
Right, but how and where that they are located in that particular place.
So one of my favorite mission statements that I just recently acquainted myself was that a church in Minnesota, and their mission is to reach young adults for Jesus. And so, that's
their mission or vision?
That's their mission.
Okay, yeah, I got
young adults
I'm there.
So the where was them. I mean,
right,
the question is our mission.
Exactly.
And the who was in that mission statement. They're there for young adults. That was what they were there for.
I'm with you there.
Actually, they said the next generation, but reaching the next generation for Jesus. And that was their mission statement. And that's the purpose. That's the purpose of that church, is to make, turn young adults into disciples.
Sure.
Now, the vision would be what in the way you're going? So what would the vision be?
Well, I'll say that. And then the vision then is how they're doing that in that time. What are their benchmarks? What is it that they are achieving in that place and time? It's more more located in time, chronologically. It's more located. This is what we're going to be doing between now and in the next, 3 years, 5 years, whatever that may be. Or this is what we're trying to reach.
So you're saying it's processual, it's not a destination?
Mm-hmm. I think I could, in a way, it is a destination. I'm not destinational, though. So, I mean, the mission is pretty much destination. And so,
how's the mission destination?
Okay, wait.
That doesn't make sense to me.
You're catching me totally off, catching me off guard.
You're making this up as you go along. I get it.
No, we do. We just come at this so because when I do consultations, right, and I'm working with mission and vision, the process that
I told you it would
that
be a
I
lively
have,
conversation.
There it is. The process that I have have put together, right, is starts with why is your church here in the first place,
right?
And to do that, right, and to get to that, then I have them, like, one of the exercises to do that is go through your historical papers and whatnot, get to that. And one of the churches I pastored, I realized this was a major problem with that congregation, was that there were that 45 years earlier, it was planted there because the people didn't want to cross the bridge and have to go downtown anymore. I mean, that's a weird thing. It was a selfish reason. Their mission was very selfish focused. And then that
broke
down. For the record,
that church is closed now.
I was thinking that earlier. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then, so then the vision, because when I went there, we were trying to create vision, and I didn't know the missional piece until later on. But then looking at the vision, it's, okay, what's happening? That's where I'm looking at what's going on in my community, in our neighborhood, and what is God calling us to address in this place and this time? That's kind of where we're putting the demographics into place. What are our giftings? You know, I'm looking at, you know, as the body of Christ, we're this ragtag bunch of folk, and who is God called here? What are these giftings that we have? What are we bringing to the table, and what are we supposed to do with that?
Okay, and I see vision really different.
Yeah.
For me, vision's destination. Vision is where we're trying to lead the church. It is where we will be 5 years from now. The easy way, the quick way, is stand on the platform with your eyes closed, or not, but it visualize, and this is not how I recommend getting vision, but 5 years from now, what does the congregation look like? How many people? Who are there? What are we doing? What are our ministries? What are our projects? What are we doing to reach out, etc.? And that's the vision, because that's where we're going. And one of the things about vision, the way I understand it, is vision starts and ends. There's an end point. You know when you've arrived.
And then you have
another vision and another vision. And there may be an overarching vision. We're going to change the community for Jesus. And that's great.
Are you saying that's mission or vision?
That's vision.
Yeah.
To change the community for Jesus.
Right.
And that can be very demotivational. Because so often churches can't even reach the next door neighbor for Jesus.
Right.
Trying to change. So that if that's a vision. That's a vision on what I would call the event horizon. It's out there in the sky. If you're standing on a mountain road, you know, and there's this winding road and you can see the mountains, it's the what I call the event horizon. It's out there on the sky beyond the mountains. It's probably a 20-year or more goal. It will never actually get there because we live in a fallen world. And then there's another, you know, what are we going to do in the next 5 years? And that would be, if you will, where the mountains are. You see the mountains? That's the foreseeable future, 5 years from now. Where's we're going to be there? Well, we're not changing the whole community for Jesus probably in the next 5 years. What are we doing in the next 5 years? Well, we're planning on, our vision is that we will be multi-site or something along those lines. You know, whatever. And again, every church is going to have it differently. And then, you know, how about the foreseeable future? What to get to there, to get here and to get here, then what has to happen in the next year? If this is where we're going to be 5 years, what do we have to do in the next year that will take us here, that will build that foundation so we get here? So what are those things? And so, you know, so there's your next vision or your next set of goals. And then you go, what are you doing in the next 90 days to make sure we reach this? So it's 90 days, 90 days, 90 days, and then we reach that 1 year, and we keep moving closer to that 5-year goal, and keep reaching forward to the 20-year goal, et cetera. So it's destination with mileposts. And you know, to be fair, yeah. Will Mancini has written this similar. I've adapted it a lot, but it's from a concept that Will Mancini had about your vision frame. It's what's outside the frame, what's here, what's here, what's here. What's in the next 90 days, year, 5 years, farther down the future. And that is always, this is where you're moving, and that's the vision. Moving, moving, moving.
So I'm trying to get some clarity.
Yep.
So are you saying that between, let's say, now and 5 years,
right,
that 12 or 90 days is a vision, 90 days is a vision?
Those are, but you start here and come back. You don't go here, go forward. The end is the beginning.
Right. I'm there. Right. I'm totally with you. So I just don't think of it.
Right.
In those terms, I visualize it very differently.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But the vision is where we're going. Regardless, even in your case, it's where we're going. In your case, it's also how we're getting there. And that's what I'm understanding from what you're saying.
Yeah. And see, to me, the mission is how we're going, and then the vision is
how is the mission how we're going?
Wait. Not how. It's where we're going. Is making those disciples, and then the vision is how are we doing that in this place, in this time, and then now.
I find that to be for me. I found that to be not the how is logistics and tactics.
Sure.
As opposed to what are the strategies and where are we trying to get? We're trying to win the war.
Right.
Okay. And so if we're trying to win the war, then how do we win the war? Well, we know we have to take out this town or this town or this,
right.
this
I get
depot
that.
With this depot.
I get that.
And whatever. And then the how becomes how are we going to do that? How are we going to take this? How are we going to dismantle this bomb factory? How are we going to dismantle this whatever to win the war? And those hows are logistics and tactics.
Yeah, I get that. I'm totally there teaching the same thing. But the way we're communicating vision is different to me.
What I'm hearing you say too
is like with the strategies and whatnot, those mileposts are your vision, are like mini visions.
They're goals, yeah.
Goals.
They're mini
but
visions,
I don't want
right.
to call goals visions.
Right.
I mean a vision has goals, right? I mean,
you start with a vision and you create goals from
right,
there.
Right, exactly, which is why, like, for me, right, immediate future is not a vision, and measurable future is not a second vision. Those are your mileposts to get to your vision. And so, say, you know, the mission is to reach people for Jesus Christ, then I would say, okay, what is our immediate vision? You know, what does that look like?
How do we measure that? Boom, we've just created a church.
Right.
All right, now, and it's, the vision is here in Columbia, Missouri,
right,
to make disciples of Jesus.
Right.
Paint me out a vision.
Okay, so I'm not going to go for all Columbia. I'm going to go for the immediate neighborhood around, like, what my locus is for now. And so the vision would be that every street has two people on it that that have met Jesus and are being discipled.
It's a destination to me. There was no how in there.
Right.
There
was, then how we're going to do that is going to be
that's
all
but
my
the vision.
Right.
The vision was. Yeah. Reach the neighborhood.
That's right.
For Jesus.
That's right.
Right. So that's a vision. It's a where.
Right.
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 So we could have spent 18 minutes if we'd gone to this place to begin with, because you and I are saying the same thing, but you went in a very different way of getting there.
That's right. It's conceptual, and the way that you conceive of it and the way I conceive of it.
Right.
And you know, visuals, how you're visualizing. Because I know what...
Right.
The picture you're using is right.
Right.
So as I look at that, I'm like, I don't see it that way at
but,
all.
But you
right?
do actually,
in a way.
All right.
Okay.
All right. So let's jump in because we only have a little bit more time. So let's run through this. Let's talk about we discussed what vision versus mission is, and we haven't talked about really about the only thing on our outline that we're going to talk about is really how do you come up with that vision? Now, in your case, you just came up with it off the top of your head. You know,
I did.
Because it's a fictitious church whatnot.
I can, and right.
Right. So,
but there is a process. I'm much more process. Well, regardless of which way, we both have processes.
Right.
My processes tend to be a bit more processual, yeah, I think.
You tend to be more, that's certainly much more convoluted.
Not when I'm working with churches.
So share your process, and I'll share mine.
So my process actually comes out of values have to be a part of the process. So I tend to look at mission, then values. And
yeah,
then,
so do I. Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we both agree
with
that.
And then we do with vision.
Right.
I ought to let you go first because I don't want to steal any of your thunder. I don't believe vision is just this collective, oh, this is what we all want.
The world needed to call a committee.
Right. But right. I do believe, though, that especially in this fallen world in which we live and all of the brokenness of congregations and whatnot, that we work with a small group of people and that you're working with that small group. It's got to be 5-7. You've got a prayer on there, you know, you're spending time in prayer every week. And that question, and there's a study, is, God, what is it that you're calling our church to do? God, what is it you're calling our church to do? And that people then come and it's like they write down what they're hearing every week. And I like putting it in a jar or something, because what you're going to do is start to look at how that comes together. And then you take it and you say, wow, and it works. I mean, it sounds hokey, I'm sure, to some of you, but you look at what people have been bringing, and you can find that there's the threads. And then you begin to say, okay, God, what does that look like? And then again, for me, because I'm also trying always to get, this is that processual part, I'm trying to get people in. So what I'm going to do then is have this massaged. I'm going to put it up on a board. And I do this with mission work and values work as well. I'm put it on the board, on a wall or someplace in the congregation, like on Sunday's week. Right. And people can then make their notes, have post-its, and they can make their notes and further massage it. Now, I had a woman in one of the congregations I was working with who wrote on it something along the lines of, this really sucks and none of it works or something. You know, it was just really mean and ugly. That's only one time out of a number of times. So that's, for me, how you start with a small group. As pastor, I would bring scripture. I would have, you know, I'm going to give some foundation to that and may even have some vision. I definitely would have some vision. Not all pastors do, though. So I always want to be careful with that. But then you want to see, can this group catch the vision? Then what is God doing? How's God sifting in there?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
For you. It's not how I do it.
Nope. Tell us how you do it.
All right. So I wrote a book called If You're Going to Herd Cats, You Need a Big Mouse. And that book is how to put that together. And it's equal process, but it starts with one. The way I understand vision and mission, well, my understanding of mission is Jesus gave it to us. Can't mess with it. You can guess it up and change it in terms of the words, but if you're not making disciples, it's not a Jesus mission. But the vision is, again, destination. And as I look at Scripture, I don't see where God ever came to a group and said, "Hey, what do y'all think? Let's toss this out and have a conversation about it." It always vision always seems to come to a leader, to a one-time leader, you know, and boom. And so the way I start this is, I start with the pastor, and my recommendation and the way I work this is, I have this worksheet, and the pastor goes to a quiet place for between 1 and 4 days. And when I say a quiet place, I don't mean, you know, the back bedroom. I mean getting out of the of your ministry context, go to a monastery or a retreat center or something, and you go with your yellow pad of paper. It could be white if you want to, but a pad of paper and your Bible and a pen, and leave your darn electronics somewhere else. And you go and you essentially, for the first day, you're saying, God, I'm here to discern hear what you have vision for the church. And I'm not leaving until you give me one. Until I have a clear understanding that I know what this is, where you want to lead. And that's where the vision comes from. And you wrestle with God about that. You play Jacob and you, who became Israel after the wrestling match. And you say, you know, what is it you want to do? And then the process is, once you have this idea of, you know, this is where God is leading us. Then you create a a vision description, a wider description that is, you know, a length, essentially an article. What, you know, someone's writing this article 5 years from now. They're you're standing there looking back and say all these things the church has accomplished and where it is and why it's how it got to where it is now. And you write that out as an article in the present tense. And then from there, you develop a vision statement. And that statement is essentially the core. It goes on your T-shirt, it goes on the bumper sticker, et cetera. That is, and once that's created, you know, once you have that statement and the description, then you sit down with a small group of people and you share it with your most intimate folks, let them weigh in and have conversation and wordsmith it, et cetera. And then I call it the pebble practice. You drop a pebble in a pond and it ripples out. So the same thing, you share it with a few who share it, and then that gets shared, and that gets shared, and until you have buy-in by your core leadership. And again, you may need to massage that at that point, but then from there, then it's first rolled out to the congregation. So that's how I do it.
I want us to have an episode on that, on how to get buy-in, because I do have a lot of success with that process and would love to be able to share that with you all, because getting that vision and even clarifying, solidifying a mission statement is fraught. I mean, as we well know, it can be fraught, especially depending upon your context, where you're doing ministry. So, I think that'll be a real important piece for us to cover. While you were talking, it made me think of something.
And again, the Big Mouth book walks through that process.
Right. And my book... My book is going to be done and published by the end of the summer. I'll be typing one-handedly, I'm sure. But it is currently the W5H process, and it's how to walk through from mission into actual planning. So,
awesome.
Yeah, two ways of looking at it. Neither right, neither wrong. One works for some of us, others work for others
right.
of us.
And here's the deal, folks, is that we're like running out of time.
That was that bell going.
Yeah, the bell going saying,
ding, ding,
time,
ding,
time,
hey,
time. All right, so, and we talked about everything we're talking about. It was very convoluted around, and so I hope you enjoyed the lively conversation, because it was a lively conversation, but we're out
and
of time.
And we did it nicely without swearing or giving each other dirty, nasty looks.
We'll see you next week.
Have a great week.
Bye-bye.